Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This morning's message is based on words from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' This is the word of the Lord. Are you an adventure seeker? The kind of person always looking for your next adrenaline rush or sensory overload? If you are that person, then I've found the article that's just for you. It's called 7 of the World's Most Dangerous Activities. You want to hear the list? I suppose some of you might, but you really don't have a choice because you're going to hear it anyway. Number one is shark diving off the coast of South Africa without a cage. So it's just you swimming out there with no protection with hammerheads and great whites. Or how about the 110-year-old King's Little Highway in Spain? You're tiptoeing at 330 feet on a teeny tiny ledge. Or maybe it's driving through the narrow tunnel of death chiseled through China's mountains. Or maybe it's cliff diving in Mexico, where the cliffs are 448 feet tall, but the kicker is that the water depth varies between 6 feet and 16 feet. So be careful where you jump. Number five is kind of self-explanatory in its dangerousness, and that's running with the bulls in Spain. Probably pretty dangerous. The next one is what they call the death road in Bolivia. Once responsible for up to 300 fatalities a year, which boasts no guardrails, hairpin turns, extreme drop-offs, loose gravel, and a constant misty fog. I saved the best for last. Maybe. Number seven is a game called Tejo from Colombia. And the aim of this game is to hurl a disc into a tube surrounded by bags of gunpowder. And the winner is the person who explodes the most gunpowder. How many of you would want to try some of these dangerous activities? I know some of you might be thinking, well, the risk of danger or something bad happening is just too great. But there are some who would think, yeah, some of those are pretty cool. But what would your parents say? What would your spouse say? Yeah, right. Like, there is no way you're trying any of this. But really, we don't have to go to places like South Africa or China or Bolivia or Colombia to find things we might consider dangerous activities. And they don't involve literal cliffs, ledges, or death roads, but there's still fear involved, and that fear can guide our decisions. Maybe it's not entering a new relationship or a friendship because you're afraid of that person taking advantage of you, or maybe putting you down in some way. Or maybe it's not taking a new leadership position here at church because the fear of failing is just too great. Maybe you don't take on a new hobby in your life just because it's something different and you've never done it before. I'll have to admit that going through school, there was one thing that stood out as far dangerous than any other activity I could think of. And really, it was just a simple thing. And it was doing this. Raising my hand for any question. The fear of getting that answer wrong, the fear of sounding dumb, was a real thing. And look how that worked out. I'm public speaking right now. I'm preaching. But being a disciple of Christ is dangerous too. Sharing Jesus can be something that scares us. And if that's true, and we tend to be paralyzed to the thought of sharing Jesus, how does the church grow? How do Wells Lutherans grow the church? We don't. And it's a wonderful scriptural truth. There's a prophet by the name of Isaiah who had the difficult task of proclaiming God's word and then watching as those people's hearts became calloused and their ears dulled to the message. He must have thought there could be no new life in this people. But God reminded him, as just as he sends the rain and the snow to make the earth bud and flourish, so too would his word accomplish the desire, the reason for which he sent it. God would give new life, not Isaiah. There was a group of Jesus' enemies who gathered against him, but Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus would gather his flock. Not one sheep would be left behind, and no one could stop him. Later on in the life of the Apostle John, Christians were watching as fellow believers were being killed by the thousands. So God sent John a vision of all the believers gathered around the throne of God in heaven. No matter what would happen on this earth, God would give his believers faith. He would draw them to himself and bring them home to heaven. So how do we grow the church? We don't. God does. And so let's rejoice in the wonderful promises of our Heavenly Father. Let's trust him to grow his church, and we can depart in peace. Amen. I noticed that some of you didn't move. Actually, a lot of you didn't move. That's because there's more to the story, isn't there? There's more here than what Jesus says. And he tells us, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Jesus preached and healed all kinds of people, drove out demons, healed sickness, fed thousands. You could say Jesus was the perfect teacher, the perfect proclaimer of truth. And he could have done it all himself, but he didn't. He chose to send these 72 out to proclaim the word in those towns he was about to enter. And what do you think? Were those 72 a bit uneasy? Maybe a bit nervous about their task? I bet they were. They did not receive the same training as the 12 apostles had received. They probably asked the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field. They just didn't think that they would be the answer to their own prayers. And I'm sure they clung to Christ and they trusted him, but the reality of their work was probably setting in. Being a disciple of Christ would be dangerous. Why? Well, as they looked around, they saw Pharisees who didn't think they needed a savior. They saw Romans perfectly content worshiping their pagan gods. They didn't think they could worry about sin. They didn't want to hear about a savior from sin. They saw Jews who thought the best thing God could do for them was to get rid of these pesky Romans and maybe lower their taxes a little bit. Those 72 had the task of bringing the gospel, the message of Jesus as Savior, to these people. Do you think they were nervous? I'd be nervous. But Jesus wanted them to see the world the way he saw it. The harvest is plentiful. What do you look at, or what do you see when you look at the world? It's easy to see a world that has no desire for Jesus. It's easy to see a world that doesn't want to hear about sin or forgiveness. This world doesn't want to hear that there's only one way to heaven through one God. They don't want to hear about a Savior demanding that we repent of everything that we are. And sometimes we see a world ready to act like wolves, ready to tear apart Christians when they speak up for their faith. But this is what God sees. The harvest is plentiful. The world is filled with people living in darkness, bound to the chains of sin, overcome with guilt. People filled with hatred for God. What is Jesus? He's the light that shines in that darkness. He is freedom from guilt. He is God's love for the whole world. Jesus tells us the harvest is ready. We didn't do that. God did that. He accomplished that. He alone leads people to faith. But he never followed that up with, the harvest is ready, the work is done, but go ahead and take it easy now. The harvest is ready, the work is done, so you don't have to reach out to Stephen's Point right now. Well, you can wait until your new building is renovated and then go into that community. The harvest is ready, the work is done. So do you know what? Outreach pastor, which I am at Divine Word, why don't you just do some outreach for us? This is what he says. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. Now, these 72 men wouldn't be doing this work full-time like the 12 apostles. But they did have two jobs to do: to tell people that the kingdom of God was coming, and to pray for or ask for more workers. And might it be time for us to get to work, to embrace the joy found in dangerous discipleship? Jesus told those 72, yeah, there'll be people who will gladly hear the message of Jesus. Whole towns will be receptive to you and to your message. But there would be individuals who would reject that message. Even entire towns would want nothing to do with you or anything about Jesus. But don't let that possibility of a negative reaction to the message of Jesus you share lead you to inactivity, to being afraid to doing so. It's when you speak from the heart about what God has done for you, when you explain why you not only attend worship, but you support that ministry with your offerings, when you reserve time to help out, even when time is at a premium, you cannot fail. Listen to Jesus. He who rejects you rejects me. He who listens to you listens to me. If there is rejection to the gospel you share, it's not your fault. It doesn't make you a failure. The fact that you have shared it is wonderful. That's what all Christians are called to do. The most important job in the world, bringing people to Jesus, was not given to angels, but to you and to me. Every Christian has a role in that. Do you take Jesus' promise about the harvest and his call to work seriously? Or let me put it this way. If someone watched you all day, could they tell that you believe Jesus' words? Do you pray that God would send out more workers on your behalf? When you have that opportunity to share Jesus, do you jump at that chance? Or do you think, well, you know, that person's just going to reject what I have to say. And really, there's other people more qualified to talk about my faith than I am. There's urgency for Jesus. We want to reach the lost. We want to strengthen the found. There's so much, though, that gets in the way. And it fills us all with shame, myself included. But shame was not the emotion those 72 returned to Jesus with. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They were beside themselves as story after story came out about demons being driven out, of miracles happening. And sure, Jesus joined them in that celebration because that's what he wanted to have happen. He wanted people to hear he was coming, to be ready for him, and to look forward to seeing their Savior. And there's nothing different today. Of course, Jesus did rein in their excitement a little bit. He replied, "I have given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Sure, some awesome miracles had been performed, but they weren't the greatest, not the highlights, not by a long shot. This is what he says: "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Faith is the most important thing. It had been given to them through the Holy Spirit. Because of it, they had eternal life. And so do we. Your name is written in heaven. Jesus loved you and saved you and made heaven yours. With the blood he shed on the cross, he removed all your sin and wrote your name in God's book of life. Now, you don't have to share your faith to somehow earn salvation. And that's how much our God loves us. But may God's love for us move us to show love to others. Now, I bet there are some in your family or in your circle of friends you can think of who have fallen away from the Lord. Take time this week to pray about those individuals, that they may be brought back to the grace and the love of our Savior, Jesus. It's God's word that grows the church. Then he calls every Christian to be a part of that work. But we're not sent out alone. We have our Savior. Our Heavenly Father is with us. And our fellow brothers and sisters are with us too in that endeavor. May God move us to connect this area to Christ. May God move the gospel to be shared with those in Stevens Point and in Plover and Portage County and beyond to the ends of the earth. And why? Why would we want that? So that more names are written in God's book of life. To God be the glory. Amen.